Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Six people were arrested last night in County Wicklow at a site earmarked for asylum seekers. Officers in riot gear were deployed after the situation in Newtown Mount Kennedy intensified. Now, the Gardaí are saying they were verbally and physically abused throughout the day at Truller House, escalating to rocks and other missiles being thrown. Three police cars were damaged with windows broken and tires slashed while six people were arrested. But local people are saying that the Gardaí used unnecessary force and were completely heavy-handed. Here's a little audio from last night.
He's on his knees! I'm a journalist! Press! You're pepper spraying press!
And the voice you hear there in that piece is journalist for Gripped Media, Fatima Gunning, and she joins me now. Fatima, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thanks very much indeed for coming on with us. Can you tell us about your experience last night?
Yeah, so I've been reporting on that situation for about 4 weeks now. Yeah. Last night, I was made aware that the riot squad or the public order unit had been deployed again. I think the first time they were deployed was Monday of last week. So I went there. I was told that, you know, there was a bit of a fracas, shall we say. I went down and, you know, there, as many as 30, maybe 40 members of the riot squad fully kitted out with the shields and the helmets were on the ground. You know, I saw that local people, protesters were, you know, at least one man was having a lengthy negotiation with a soft cap riot, public order unit officer. Things started to deteriorate after that. You know, the riot squad made an advance up the road. There were people knocked to the ground. There was a woman screaming, that's my brother, as the man was knocked to the ground. Up further up the road, a fire was set to some pallets. Now, the fire, the pallets were kind of up against a building which is on the grounds of River Lodge. I think it's a gatehouse. I can't say categorically what its use is for, but it is on the ground of River Lodge where IPAS is developing the asylum centre. And the flame did kind of grow and set fire to the side of the building, which is, you know, running at the road on the wall. Things just kind of deteriorated from there. The riot squad were advancing. People were pepper sprayed. Some protesters were throwing things like stones at the riot squad. You know, I think most of the stone throwing I witnessed seemed to have been carried out by younger guys, maybe they're teenagers. There was a man that was incapacitated by pepper spray. At one point, he was on his knees. The riot squad were, that the clip you played, actually, just to give context of how that happened, the riot squad were advancing up the road. This guy was on his knees. Like, you're clearly incapacitated by pepper spray. They kept advancing towards him, and as they surrounded him, I could see him being kicked. So at that point, I moved back towards him. I said, he's on his knees. Because, you know, I understand that the public order unit are, you know, they're fully within their rights to break up whatever, do whatever they do. But I don't think that kicking someone on the ground on his knees is
hard. And you
that,
witnessed
so.
That, Fatima. You witnessed him being kicked even though he was incapacitated.
Right, and then they pepper sprayed me, even though I said to them repeatedly that I was a journalist.
So you were pepper sprayed as well?
Yes.
And you made them aware that you were a journalist?
Yeah.
And you were what? You were trying to advocate on his behalf, were you?
I think advocate is a strong word. Just like, you know, at the end of the day, journalists are human beings. Like, if you see a defenseless person being kicked by fully uniformed riot police, and I was actually retreating. I was actively retreating when they pepper sprayed me. So I'm not sure what what kind of threat a 5 foot six skinny female journalist is to 10 or 15 fully uniformed riot police.
And were they themselves in danger at that point in terms of some of the more violent elements? I mean, did you see them being physically threatened themselves that would lead you to maybe, I won't say excuse, but to know why they were behaving in the manner they were?
I mean, as they were advancing up the road, like, there were some people throwing stones at them. I think that, like, most of the stones were coming from behind a ditch because there's a field parallel to the road there. So I couldn't see exactly who was throwing the stones, but that's the only kind of physical threat, I would say.
And as you said, you've been following the story and writing about the story for some time now. Is it your sense that the locals who were, protesting, but in a very civilized manner, were they infiltrated in some way by outside groups, do you think, at this point, Fatima?
I don't know. I mean, my personal observation and also what I've been told is that the mood turned when the riot squad started to show up Monday last week. Up until then, all of the observations I had made were peaceful. Like, obviously, some people would have strong words with the Gardaí now and then, but I did see cordial exchanges. I do feel that, the presence of the riot squad kind of changed things.
You've been covering protests like this for some time now around the country. What is your sense of what's happening out there, Fatima?
Well, from what I've seen, again, and what I've been told, is that people are utterly, utterly, just completely done, completely over government not listening to them on the issue of immigration. I mean, the people in Newtown and Kennedy, for example, I think Newtown and Kennedy is a microcosm of what's happening almost all over the country. They had a peaceful demonstration for like four straight weeks. They have pursued legal avenues to find out who exactly the owners of River Lodge are. They have expressed concern for not only the local community, but also the asylum seekers that are going to be housed there because of, what they said are lack of facilities, the place being essentially in a field in the middle of nowhere that, gets very, very kind of floods. I have photos that I shared of it basically half covered in water. So, I just think that people are really sick of not being listened to. I think that's the bottom line.
And do you have concerns that what we witnessed last night, that will be replicated over and over if these policies continue to be implemented?
I do think so. I mean, people have been expressing concern about this policy for about 2 years now, and all the government has really done is, gone from calling them names like far right and racist to just doubling down and sending in the riot squad. So, what else is going to happen?
How were you this morning? I mean, how does that pepper spray affect you? I mean, were you?
Well, very luckily, as I said, I was retreating when the officer sprayed me, and I kind of instinctually turned my head, so it mostly got on the left side of my face. So my face is kind of burned and rashy. I will say that stuff has a horrible way of migrating over time. So it kind of got spread down from my eyelid into my eye. My hands were on fire all night, so I couldn't sleep. But I will say other people got it a lot worse than I did.
Will you pursue the matter? Because as you say, you were retreating, you were speaking on behalf of a man who was incapacitated, but he was being kicked, as you described. Will you follow this up?
I think that I have to, not really for myself, but for, journalism as a profession. Like, I have every right to report on every aspect of unfolding events. Like, that's my job and that's all I was doing.
I know that you will make contact, or GRIP certainly will make contact with the Department of Integration, where the role of masked men and how they're used as workers. Now, What are you making of that, first of all? I mean, is this to protect the identity of the workers for fear that they may be attacked in some way, or is there something else behind this?
Well, that's a good question, and it's a question that I have put to the Department of Integration. I sent them an email, I think it was yesterday, asking them if, using masked workers was in line with their policies. They haven't answered me. But yeah, and the locals did say that they found, because I think most of them I've seen it, like most of them are masked essentially all the time. So the locals down there have said that they do find it intimidating. There's video of one of them, a masked man, jumping out of a truck and snapping off the registration plate, which appeared to be a Northern Irish registration plate. There's also a video of one of them getting out of a car and tackling a female protester. So people have said that they do find that intimidating, and, you know, the Department of Integration hasn't answered my queries as to why those people are being used, or if it's a direction from them or what's going on at all.
That's important to point out. The Garda cars were damaged last night, and there was certainly a lot of altercation with the Gardaí. How much of that did you see?
I didn't witness Garda cars being damaged. What I witnessed was mostly like stones being thrown at the riot squad. Obviously, there's a lot of shouting. I didn't see who set the pallet on fire, but I did see the early stages of the fire. I have it on video. That's basically it. Like, some pointed umbrella was thrown. And then, you know, people had retreated into the field, which runs parallel, as I said. And at a certain point, some of them were, again, kind of younger guys were throwing stones from down across the ditch at the riot squad. And then the riot squad did advance into the field and chased people out back onto the road.
All right, Fatima, we wish you well and we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for coming on with us. Thank you and good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning to you. That's Fatima Gunning there of Gripped Media. Now, Kevin Haig runs a local glamping site in the area. He joins me online. Kevin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thanks for making time for us this morning, because I realised there must be a lot going on in the village this morning. I mean, what are you hearing from the local people following what happened last night?
I think there's a great deal of shock and a great deal of anger. I think the shock comes from how the protesters have been treated in the last few days, and anger at there's no voice being heard. The protesters have constantly asked for dialogue, constantly asked for answers to questions, which we feel are very important, or they feel are very important, and have been effectively stonewalled or ignored at every level of the political chain. The protesters are just normal people of Newtown. They're not professional protests. They're mums and dads and grannies who have legitimate concerns about this particular site and about the village itself, and they've not been heard. And then to send in the riot squad to just bully this policy onto them, people are shocked.
Just to remind our listeners here, I mean, the intention, Kevin, as I understand it, is to have 160 male asylum seekers in kind of military-style tents, is that right, on the grounds of River Lodge? Is that the intention?
Right. Initially, the people were told that the site was purely under investigation, but that was clearly a lie in that the site was being rapidly developed. The peaceful protest managed to delay that development, and they were looking for answers to questions, for example, who actually owns the site. That's in dispute. And also looking at the environmental side of things. Newtown and Kennedy is a small village which has grown immensely quickly over the last few years, and no additional resources have been put in place. So, for example, there's no secondary school, there's no library, there's no leisure facilities, no bank. To the extent that Anbord Planola last year said there should be no further development in Newtown until these facilities are put in place. And then suddenly they find 160 young men are literally going to be dumped in a field in these tents. They are military-style tents. They're very big tents. But, you know, it is still a wet field in Wicklow.
There's some more sinister aspects to this as well. Private security, for example, and the nature of that security. Could you tell us a little about that, Kevin?
We don't know a huge amount because the whole operation has been very, very secretive. But we understand that there is a contractor involved whose job it is to first develop the site, and they use contractors which they hire to protect the site. And then they get a contract to actually run the site afterwards. But certainly some of the private security have been quite aggressive, and there are images of some of them sort of toting replica weapons on their web pages and so on, they would all appear to be kind of like foreign henchmen, for want of a better word, you know.
You think they may be foreigners, the security?
There's certainly some Eastern Europeans there who are big lads. But yes, they don't seem to be sort of local people.
Right. And in terms of their legitimacy, do they have, I don't know, do they have license on their clothing? Are they...
Protesters have constantly asked to see licenses and identification, and that has been constantly withheld.
The whole
thing is very, very sinister. It's a very sinister bullying tactic from the get-go.
And the workers arriving, you know, I think it was about 2 a.m., was it, in balaclavas as well. What are you making of that?
Well, again, the people find it very, very intimidating. There was actually two phases. So the peaceful protest has been running for about 5 weeks. And a week ago on Monday, the riot squad arrived with a convoy of trucks with the tents on them and other equipment, driven by men in balaclavas. And some of the trucks didn't have registration plates on them. One truck was seen with the driver actually tearing his registration plates off, balaclava clad, and the people there found that very intimidating, and the fact that they were being escorted onto the site by the Gardaí just kind of rubbed salt into the wounds, I think.
Now, local protesters having every right to protest, but we're hearing about locals being infiltrated by other actors from other areas, maybe with a more, I'm trying to choose my words carefully, but maybe prepared to be violent towards the police force. What about that, Kevin? I mean, is that evident to you?
I think that is to a certain extent inevitable in any protest, but the protesters have tried very, very hard to keep the protest on a local, peaceful basis and to keep politics out of it.
It needn't have gotten to where it got last night. Is that what you're saying?
The escalation was totally on the part of the government. I mean, up until that point, the protesters had a very good relationship with the local Gardaí, who were having cups of coffee and chats, and it was a genuinely peaceful protest. You know, people were bringing their kids down to play, but it all turned very sour when the riot squad arrived and people were forced onto the site. And what really frustrates the protesters, I think, is that after that event, there was a huge danger of things escalating further. And the situation was de-escalated by agreeing to a meeting with the developer, with senior Gardaí, which was due to take place next Monday. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning, the riot squad arrive in force with more trucks and more men in balaclavas and literally batter their way onto the site. So that was a massive.
So any good faith that might have been built up there is lost now.
It's completely lost by the actions of the government and the Gardaí on the situation. It could have been completely peaceful. There could have been some dialogue, which the protesters have been asking for since the day one. Dialogue and information. Stop lying to us. Start talking to us. Why is this happening? Why is the village going to be? So this under-resourced village going to be swamped? You know, it's just all the time, no answers. This is how it's going to be. We're just doing our job. Off we go. And it's horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous.
What's interesting is, to the best of my knowledge, you're in the constituency of our new Taoiseach, are you not?
He is in the next door town of Greystone, so he is very close, yes.
And have you had interaction with local politicians on this? And were they helping the protesters, the local protesters? Or how did that
the
work?
The vast majority of the local politicians have chosen not to engage and just completely ignored our emails and our phone calls. Those that have engaged have spouted the party line that, oh, we're obliged to do this, when we know that under the Lisbon Treaty and the Dublin Agreement that we are not obliged to do this. You know, so we just get the party line and that's it. There's been no genuine engagement at any level from anybody in the political system.
Where to now, Kevin?
That's a very good question. I don't know. My fear is that this will escalate across the country because there's a palpable sense of anger And the protesters have been getting messages from all over the country in the last few days, and now all over the world. So the world is now watching what is happening in Newtown, Mount Kennedy, with utter horror. I hope that it leads to a proper debate on to why is this happening? Why are we bringing people in when we don't have to? What's behind it? There's industrial amounts of money being made in this country on the back of this. Why is this happening? My hope would be it would go in that direction rather than sort of further violent protests. But, you know, the anger in the country of the people, I think it's four out of five people in this country say that the current policy is wrong. It's morally wrong and it's legally wrong, and they're not being listened to. And at some point, if you poke a bear hard enough, it'll bite back.
You're in the most beautiful area. I know it well. And you run a glamping site yourself there. Already, has your business been affected by Newtown Mount Kennedy being in the headlines for the wrong reasons, I suppose?
To be honest, it hasn't. We have guests coming in this evening, and they have contacted us and said, is it okay to come? And they've been assured that it is okay to come. We're just outside the village. And to be fair, our businesses have not really been affected because there's nowhere else for people to stay around here. Yeah. Most of the hotels in Bray and around us are full of migrants. So there's very little place for people to stay. So far, we've been very lucky.
Kevin, thank you for making time for us today. Needless to say, we'll be following the story, but thank you and good morning to you.
Thank you very much indeed. Goodbye.
That's Kevin Haig there. Running the local glamping site there in Newtown, Mount Kennedy. And I'm sure you've seen on social media some of those images and those videos from last night. Really, really remarkable stuff going on. News and information's coming up.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.